What is up, cybersecurity and cryptocurrency peeps? Hope everybody's having a good week so far. Today's Monday, October the 29th. We're just kicking off this week. Got a lot to get to. Going to talk about some of these airlines that have been getting hacked. Seems like they can't stay safe. Also going to talk a little bit about the Windows Defender sandbox mode that just came out. And for crypto, we're going to talk about the lack of security professionals in the cryptocurrency space. Also going to talk a little bit about Ripple. And then last but not least, we're going to talk about the article that came out about how Bitcoin is going to ruin the world. So talk about all those fun things. So to kick things off here, we'll start with all these airways and airliners that have been getting hacked. It started with British Airways. They came out last week and said that 185,000 more people are affected by their breach that happened about a month or two ago. So even more people they found have been affected by that breach now. So scary to see that. But, you know, there's other people that were affected too. It was large numbers of people. Now they're adding another 185,000 to that. So that's certainly scary. The other one that came out, and I'm not familiar with this airlines, but it's called Cathay Pacific. It's a British or English airliner, and I've never heard of these folks, but apparently they're very popular overseas. 9.4 million customer records were stolen. Wow, it's a huge number. 9.4 million people were affected by that one. So seems like the airline industry is getting hacked here quite a bit recently. I'm thinking about it from a hacker's perspective. What would you want to get from those airliners? What would be, you know, the biggest target? And I guess it's just getting credit cards, stolen credit cards. I can't think of what the other motivation would be to hack those airliners. Are they going to get free flights, maybe? Frequent flyer miles, points? I don't know. Seems like an odd target. Maybe they're just targeting them because they can. That's a possibility as well. Anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting about more airliners getting hacked and then British Airways coming out with even more people that they found were affected by theirs. Another cool cybersecurity topic that came out today, Microsoft has announced that Windows Defender will now be running in what's called a sandbox mode. So Windows Defender is notorious for being compromised or being vulnerable and getting hacked and people turning it off and whatever else. So Microsoft is introducing this sandbox so that if somebody does infect your Windows Defender, it won't affect the rest of your computer. At least that's what Microsoft is saying. Now, this is still in beta. However, if you want to see the feature now, I'm not sure that you really notice much, but there are some commands that you can run to turn this on now. So I'll post those, the article at least, to the show notes here so you can check that out. But I don't know what else that would give you, you know, other than, you know, if Defender gets hacked, that's great. But I guess the other good part about this, and I'm just kind of speculating here, if your computer did get a virus, that it wouldn't affect Defender, potentially, and therefore it would allow Defender to clean your computer. Whereas in the article they talk about, you know, when Defender gets compromised, it compromises the rest of your system. But I do wonder, once this is, you know, officially released, whether or not it could be the exact opposite. If computer gets infected with something, hopefully Defender does not, you can get rid of that infection with Defender. Windows Defender, I have to say, has gotten a lot better over the years. When it first came out, it was quite a joke, but Microsoft has done quite a bit of work on it. Still not one of the, you know, top-level antivirus platforms out there, but for something that comes built-in with Windows, I think it's gotten way better over the years. They also have the similar technology to what Cylance has, so it's anti-exploit as well, so that's good. That's been around in that platform for quite a while now, but it's just interesting to see its progression, and I think it's just nothing but great for all the Windows users out there, because it was pretty bad before and people relied pretty heavily on it at the time, but it was definition based and it only knew what was in its definitions, unfortunately, like a lot of the old school antiviruses. We are seeing the big push to AI based antivirus and analytics and anti-exploit, so that's good to see that, and Microsoft is also following suit. So that new sandbox mode will be officially released in the next month or two, I believe they said, so be on the lookout for that. It will come out in a regular Windows update. I don't think the average user will even notice that this has changed. Probably shouldn't notice. Microsoft did say, however, that they had to rewrite a lot of the code for this to happen, a lot of the fundamental code. So be interesting to see what it breaks when it comes out. We'll see what happens. Jumping over to cryptocurrency, I saw some articles recently about the lack of cybersecurity in the cryptocurrency space. And I think, yes, that article is correct because we're seeing all these exchanges and whatnot getting hacked. But I think it's kind of an anomaly and people don't know or maybe aren't confident to be able to secure a cryptocurrency or an exchange like that. There are some fundamental security things that obviously should be there. But as far as the code for that particular cryptocurrency or that exchange, if that part is vulnerable, you know, that's a lot harder to detect. So I don't know if the lack of people is just because these exchanges and whatnot aren't hiring these kind of people, or if it's, you know, just a lack of knowledge, lack of expertise as far as knowing what to do in that sort of environment. I did go through some job postings and I looked around for, you know, some of the bigger exchanges and saw what kind of job postings they were having out there. They didn't really have anything to do with security. The majority of them were, you know, tier one support and whatnot. So not really great for cybersecurity pros, but that could all change over time, may become more and more prevalent as we move forward with these exchanges and whatnot. Maybe it's also a thing of, you know, the exchanges can't afford to hire the right people. You know, if it's a startup cryptocurrency or a startup exchange, maybe they can't afford, you know, a high-level CISO. Maybe they can't afford that salary. So there's a lot of what-ifs going on there, but it's certainly interesting to see those numbers and statistics and whatnot, and we'll see if it changes a little bit more moving forward. Still yet to be seen, at least at the moment. I think it is very much needed, for sure. Cybersecurity and cryptocurrency definitely go together. You know, a lot of the hackers and, you know, ransomware people, they use cryptocurrency to receive their payments and whatnot. So, you know, those two things tie in together quite a bit and in many different circumstances and landscapes. So it definitely needs to be thought of more, and these exchanges and other startups and whatnot need to focus on it at least a little bit. It needs to be part of your roadmap at least. I understand trying to get the business off the ground and get everything going, but, you know, hopefully moving forward, they will realize how important it is and implement some new cybersecurity techniques and whatnot. But the basics should already be there. Security has got a lot of fundamentals, and if you just implement those good fundamentals, it should prevent a lot of things from happening. But again, it's that source code that if somebody finds a, you know, a bug in the exchange and they can withdraw a bunch of money several times, well, that's harder and harder to detect. But anyway, I thought that was interesting statistics on that. We'll see if that changes in the future. Ripple, their Q3 sales were through the roof. So this is good news for any Ripple fans out there. I'm also one of those Ripple fans. Their Q3 numbers basically doubled what they projected. So that's really good for Ripple. They're continuing to do great things. So it's good to see that. So I saw another... Now, this article, I understand it, but it kind of drove me nuts at the same time. But the title of the article was that Bitcoin is going to ruin the world. And after reading it, I understand what they're saying. They're saying that because of all the electricity that it uses, that part is going to ruin the world. So, well, yes, I understand that, and I get where they're coming from there. It's certainly not going to ruin the world. And as more and more solar technologies come out, this is going to be less of an issue. We do need better and more solar technologies, but that's a whole nother conversation. But for this person to come out and just say it's going to ruin the world, it's a little bit ridiculous. I understand what they're saying, but a little ridiculous. But this begs the question too. Bitcoin has been proof of work for, you know, since its inception. So at what point do they move to proof of stake? Same goes for Ethereum. You can imagine all the electricity that's being burned up by these bigger cryptos like Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, you name it, Monero. All the people mining for that stuff are probably killing their electricity bills. And without solar energy mitigating some of that, yes, we are putting heavy stresses on the grids, heavy loads on the grid, and that's certainly not good overall. So I hope that a lot of these move to proof of stake, you know, the master nodes and proof of stake kind of set up. I think that's just where it all should be going. It's a lot more efficient as far as electricity goes. You just have to have a computer running, nothing fancy. You don't have to have a whole bunch of graphics cards or a special Antminer or anything like that. All you need is just a computer with Linux on it. You can run a master node. And oftentimes, too, with these cryptos that are proof of stake, you can actually create the master node in the wallet that they provide to you. Now, you have to know a little bit about how to set that up, and that's certainly doable, but you can set it up just in the wallet that they give you, and you can run it on a Windows box. So, very simple, much more energy efficient, and I do hope that a lot of these bigger ones start moving to that model at some point. I guess something I don't know the answer to, and it always kind of boggles my mind, why haven't the big guys moved to proof of stake yet? Is it something fundamental with the code that they don't want to redesign? Is it, you know, what's preventing, or what's the downside to moving to proof of stake? Is it really that bad? Is it bad for, you know, transactions? Because master nodes can still perform all the same transactions and generate blocks. You know, that's not an issue. So, you know, and also the master nodes get rewards just like miners do. So it makes me wonder what's the holdup and why are we still stuck with, you know, setting it up with proof of work? I guess that's just the way it goes for now. Ethereum has thrown around the idea of moving to proof of stake, but that's still yet to be seen. But I hope that they do go to proof of stake to save our electricity. And while I don't think it's going to ruin the world, it can certainly help in the short term until more and better solar technologies come available. Bitcoin also today took a pretty big dump. It went down about $200 to a two-week low, so that kind of sucks. I was really hoping we were on a pretty good run there. It was pretty stable. It's been stable for a while now, floating right around $6,400, so it dipped today $200. It's made a little bit of a rebound already, so that's good to see. Some other stuff I wanted to talk about with proof of stake. So we were just talking about setting up master nodes and all that good stuff, and you can get rewards with those master nodes just like you would if you were mining for that particular crypto. These cryptos also have what's called staking. And what does that mean? Well, it just means essentially that you're holding the coins that you have in your wallet, and you're holding them until, you know, whatever day, whenever you want to. You can sell them at any time. But staking is where you hold on to those funds in your wallet, and the more you have, the more staking rewards that you get. So just like mining and just like masternodes, if you're staking, you also get payouts. So a couple of them that I've been doing, they changed the collateral to set up a masternode. They essentially doubled it, and I did not have enough of that particular coin to continue with my masternode, so I decided, you know what, I want to see if staking is really worth it. And while I don't make quite as much in rewards with staking, it's very close, at least with this one particular crypto. It's called Save Node Coin. With that particular one, I'm still making, you know, a pretty good chunk of change just with staking. So interesting to see the differences there, but if you don't know how to set up a masternode and you don't have any clue what a masternode is and don't really want to know what it is, but you understand how to create and send cryptocurrencies, you could certainly set up one of these wallets. All you have to do is leave that wallet up and running. You don't have to open any ports on your firewall. You don't have to do anything else like that. The wallet just has to be open and unlocked if you encrypted your wallet like you should. It needs to be open and unlocked. And essentially with the staking, it does a lot of what the masternodes do as well. It takes some of those funds that you have to help fund some other transactions, some bigger transactions, and then it pays you back, and it also gives you a reward for allowing them to use your funds as part of that bigger transaction. So as you can imagine, the more that you have in your wallet, the more and bigger rewards that you'll get because they can fund larger and larger transactions. So it's pretty cool to do staking and not really have to set up a masternode and worry about AWS bills and all that other fancy stuff. It makes it quite nice. I've been very happy with staking so far. And like I said, I'm getting, I'd say, 3/4 of what I was getting with the masternode. So Still pretty good rewards. I'm going to do the staking until I've got enough collateral to get a masternode set back up again, but it's going to take a couple weeks at least. But certainly a cool way to earn passive income and not have to set up any VMs or do anything special. Just got to leave your wallet open and unlocked, and the network will essentially use some of the funds that you've got to fund bigger transactions and then give you a reward for that. So it's really cool stuff. If you don't want to set up a masternode or have no idea what it is and don't really want to learn, you can do staking. So it's very easy to do. You do have to change your wallet config file. You have to put in staking equals one and save that wallet config file, restart the wallet, and away you go. You're staking. So depending on the crypto, too, you have to have a certain amount of coins to even be able to do staking. And it varies from crypto to crypto. Typically, it's anything over 500 coins you can do staking with. Some it's 1,000, some it's 1. I don't know how that would even work, but they say you can do staking with even the tiniest amounts on some of these cryptos. It just depends on the crypto. But you purchase it on the exchange, you send it to your local wallet on your PC or Mac, and just hold it in your wallet with the wallet open and online, and you make some rewards. So it's pretty nice. Pretty nice stuff there. So check that out if you're looking to make some passive income. But be careful with whichever one of these proof of stake coins that you pick. Make sure that their project is valid. It's actually going to result in some sort of a finished product at some point, and that the project has been around for more than 2 weeks. And also make sure that the team is very active on their social media channels. That's a great sign that that crypto is more likely than not legitimate. So that's a good thing. And just be very, very cautious. And also be cautious about how much you buy, how much you buy in with. If you're looking to set up a masternode, but you're not really sure about that particular crypto, buy enough to do staking. And with staking, like I said, you can have 500 to 1,000 coins and do quite well with staking versus having to buy 16,000 coins to do a masternode. So certainly some things to keep in mind there when you're picking one of these proof of stake coins. But if you pick the right ones and you hold on for the ride, it's very passive income and very easy to do. You can also do a masternode and staking at the same time. So I've been tinkering with that as well. So you double the rewards, and it's pretty nice. All right, folks, that's all I had for today. I do want to thank our sponsor, Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company. It's southerngraphicst-shirtco.com is their website. You can also check them out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/southerngraphicst-shirtcompany. So check them out on Facebook as well. The links to Facebook and their Etsy shop are also on their main homepage. So go check them out for all your t-shirt needs. They got some really funny t-shirts on their website. So if you need some custom stuff made, they can do that too. All right, folks, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at eEnglish34 on Twitter, at eEnglish34. Hit me up on there, and we will talk again soon. Thanks for listening.